I am going to start off about just like a little bit before where we left off. And hopefully I can make it to the end of the poem this time. So if you need a reminder, this is hysterical literature. I read this poem, Goblin Market by Christina Rossetti, while masturbating. And when I come, I have to stop reading. So let's see how long we can hold on. Till Lizzie urged, "Oh, Laura, come. I hear the fruit call, but I dare not look. You should not loiter longer at this brook. Come with me home. The stars rise and the moon bends her arc. Each glowworm winks her spark. Let us get home before the night grows dark. For the clouds may gather, though this is summer weather. Put out the lights and drench us through. Then, if we lost our way, what should we do?" Laura turned cold as stone to find her sister heard that cry alone. That goblin cry, "Come buy our fruits, come buy." Must she then buy no more such dainty fruit? Must she no more such pasture find? Gone deaf and blind? Her tree of life drooped from the root. She said not one word in her heart's sore ache, but peering through the dimness, not discerning, trudged home, her pitcher dripping all the way. So crept to bed and lay, silent, till Lizzie slept, then sat up in a passionate yearning, and gnashed her teeth for bulk desire, and wept as if her heart would break. Day after day, night after night, Laura kept watch in vain, in sullen silence of exceeding pain. She never caught again the goblin cry, "Come by, come by." She never spied the goblin men hawking their fruits along the glen. But when the noon waxed bright, her hair grew thin and gray. She dwindled as the fair full moon doth turn to swift decay and burn her fire away. One day, remembering her kernel stone, she set it by the wall that faced the south, dewed it with tears, hoped for a root, watched for a waxing shoot, but there came none. It never saw the sun. It never felt the trickling moisture run, while the sunk eyes and faded mouth, she dreamed of melons as a traveler sees false waves in the desert drouth, with shade of leaf-crowned trees, and burns the thirstier in this handful breeze. She no more swept the house, tended the fowls or cows, fetched the honey-kneaded cakes of wheat, brought water from the brook, just sat down listless in the chimney nook, and would not eat. Tender, Lizzie could not bear to watch her sister's cankerous care, yet not to share. The night and morning caught the goblin's cry, "Come buy our orchard fruits, come buy, come buy." Beside the brook, along the glen, she heard the tramp of goblin men, the yoke and stir. Poor Laura could not hear, longed by fruit to comfort her, but feared to pay too dear. She thought of Jeanie in her grave, who should have been a bride, but who for joy's bride's hope to have, fell sick and died in her gay prime, in earliest winter time, with the first glazing rime, with the first snowfall of crisp winter time. Till Laura dwindling seemed knocked at death's door, then Lizzie weighed no more, better and worse, but put a silver penny in her purse, kissed Laura, crossed the heath with clumps of firs, at twilight halted by the brook, and for the first time in her life began to look. Laughed every goblin when they spied her. Laughed. Laughed every goblin when they spied her peeping. Came towards her hobbling, flying, running, leaping, puffing and blowing, chuckling, clapping, crowing, clucking and gobbling, mopping and mowing, full of airs and graces, pulling wry faces, demure grimaces, cat-like and rat-like, rattle and rattle and wombat. Like snail paced in a hurry, parrot voiced and whistler helter skelter hurry scurry, chattering like magpies, fluttering like pigeons, gliding the fishes, hugged her and kissed her, squeezed and caressed her, stretched up their dishes, panniers and plates. Look at her apples, russet and dun. Bob at her cherries, bite at our peaches, citrons and dates, grapes for the asking, pears red with basking out in the sun, plums on their twigs, pluck them and suck them, pomegranates, figs. Good folk, said Lizzie, mindful of Jeanie, give me much and many, held out her apron, tossed them her penny. Nay, take a seat with us, honor and eat with us, they answered, grinning. Our feast is but beginning, night yet is early, warm and dew pearly, wakeful and starry. Such fruits as these no man can carry. Half their bloom would fly, half their dew would dry, half their flavor would pass by. Sit down and feast. Sit down and feast with us. Be welcome guests with us. Cheer you and rest with us. Thank you, said Jenny. Thank you, said Lizzie. But one waits at home alone for me. So without further parleying, if you will not sell me any of your fruits, though much and many, give me back my silver penny. I tossed you for a fee. They began to scratch, their pates no longer wagging, purring, but visibly demurring, grunting and snarling. One called her proud, cross-grained, uncivil. Their tones waxed loud, their looks were evil. Lashing their tails, they trod and hustled her, elbowed and jostled her, clawed with their nails, barking, mewing, hissing, mocking, tore her down and soiled her stocking, twitched her hair out by the roots, stamped upon her tender feet, held her hands, and squeezed their fruits, against her mouth to make her eat. White and golden lily stood, like a lily in a flood, like a rock of blue-veined stone, lashed by tides. Obstreperously, like a beacon left alone in a hoary roaring sea, sending up a golden fire like a fruit-crowned orange tree, white with blossoms honey-sweet, sore beset by wasp and bee, like a royal virgin town top with gilded dome and spire, close layered by a feet, mad to tug her standard down. One may lead a horse to water, 20 cannot make him drink, though the Goblins cuffed and caught her, coaxed and fought her, bullied and besought her, scratched her, pinched her black as ink, kicked and knocked her, mauled and mocked her. Lizzie uttered not a word, would not open lip from lip, lest they should cram a mouthful in, but laughed in heart to feel the drip of juice that syruped all over her face, all her face, and lodged in dimples of her chin, and streaked her neck, which quaked like curd. At last, the evil people, worn out by her resistance, flung back her penny, kicked their fruit along whichever road they took, not leaving root or stone or shoot. Some writhed into the ground, some dived into the brook, with ring and ripple. Some scudded on the gale without a sound. Some vanished in the distance. In a smart ache tingle, Lizzie went her way, knew not was it night or day. Spring. Spring up the bank, tore through the firs, threaded corpse and dingle, and heard her penny jingle, bouncing in her purse. His bounce was music to her ear. She ran and ran, as if she feared some goblin man dogged her with a gibe or curse, or something worse. But not one goblin scurried after, nor was she pricked by fear. The kind heart made her windy pace, that urged her home quite out of breath with haste and inward laughter. She cried, "Laura, up the garden, did you miss me? Come and kiss me. Never mind my bruises. Hug me, kiss me. Suck my juices, squeezed from goblin fruits for you, goblin pulp and goblin dew. Eat me, drink me, love me. Laura, make much of me. For your sake I have braved the glen, and had to do with goblin merchant men." Laura started from her chair, flung her arms up in the air, clutched her hair. "Lizzie, Lizzie, have you tasted for my sake the fruit forbidden? Must your light like mine be hidden? Your young life like mine be wasted, undone in mine undoing, and ruined in my ruin? Thirsty, cankered, goblin-ridden." She clung about her sister, kissed and kissed and kissed her. Tears once again refreshed her sunken eyes, dropping like rain after a long, sultry drought. Shaking with anguish, fear, and pain, she kissed and kissed her with a hungry mouth. Her lips began to scorch. That juice was wormwood to her tongue. She loathed the feast. Writhing as one possessed, she leaped and sung, rent all her robe and wrung her hands in lamentable haste, and beat her breast. Her locks streamed like the torch, borne by a racer at full speed, or like the mane of horses in their flight, or like an eagle when she stems the light straight toward the sun, or like a caged thing freed, or like flying flag whose armies run. Swift fire spread through her veins, knocked at her heart, met the fire smoldering there, and overbore its lesser flame. She gorged on bitterness without a name. Ah, fool, to choose such part of soul-consuming care. Sense failed in mortal strife, like the watchtower of a town which an earthquake shatters down, like a lightning-stricken mast, like a wind-uprooted tree, spun about like a foam-topped waterspout, casting down headlong in the sea. She fell at She fell at last. Pleasure passed, and anguish passed. Is it death, or is it life? Life out of death. That night long, Lizzie watched by her, counted her pulse's flagging stir, felt for her breath, held water to her lips, and cooled her face with tears and fanning leaves. But when that first birds chirped about their eaves, and early reapers plodded to the place of golden sheaves, and dew-wet grass bowed in the morning winds so brisk to pass, and new buds with new day opens like a cup of lilies on the stream, Lara awoke as from a dream, laughed in the innocent old way, hugged Lizzie, but not twice or thrice. Her gleaming locks showed not one thread of gray. Her breath was sweet as May, and light danced in her eyes. Days, weeks, months, years. Afterwards, when both were wives with children of their own, their mother hearts beset with fears, their lives bound up in tender lives, Lara would call the little ones and tell them of her early prime. Those pleasant days long gone, of not returning time, would walk about the haunted glen, the wicked quaint fruit merchant men, their fruits like honey to the throat, but poison in the blood. Men sell not such in any town. Would tell them how her sister stood in deadly peril to do her good, and when the fiery antidote, then joining hands to little hands, would bid them cling together. For there is no friend like a sister in calm or stormy weather to cheer one on the tedious way, to fetch one if one goes astray, to lift one if one totters down, to strengthen whilst one stands. Oh, God, that was difficult. I finished the poem, and now I'm gonna make myself come so hard. Yes. Oh, God. Fuck. Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot. Well, thank you for sitting with me while I got through the rest of Goblin Market by Christina Rossetti. She is one of my favorite poets, if not my favorite. And I love a lot of her poems, but Goblin Market is just a really cool one. So, yeah, I made it through. I only had to do this in two parts. You guys have a nice rest of your week, all right? Bye.